Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
This year is dedicated in memory of Tzivya Chaya Davidzal, Sylvia David. It's been in her memory the last few weeks, and it's also today is the yard sign. Somebody by the name of Yisrael Kaplan, Izzy Kaplan, his wife is here this morning. Izzy Kaplan was a student of mine in Toronto 50 years ago. He became a major force in Toronto for Eretz Yisrael. He became a fighter for Eretz Yisrael. He was tremendous effort and energy and time and money that he expended. And then he took ill and passed away 6 years ago. Susie tells me 6 years ago. He will be remembered. He was really, really something very unique and a good person. You know, you have nachas. You have nachas from students. I remember his parents yet. I remember the long driveway on Clinton Park Road. Regnish. Izzy was a very, very unique individual, and so we're going to learn L'Inui Nishmato today. Now, I don't think there's a chance that I will complete everything that I have to say today, because this year is a combination of so many things and very powerful emotions. Things I feel very strongly about, and I think by the time I've gone partway through this year, you will too. But there's also some interesting things. In its very first version, 20 years ago, this became known as the shear of the flat tire. Now let me tell you the story. We'll do it very quickly. The flat tire. Now, I happen to be, today's Tuesday. A week ago Tuesday I said the shear. Wednesday morning I'm already working on today's shear. So Wednesday morning I'm thinking over and I'm writing notes, because I have new things to say about the flat tire. Now, what was the story of the flat tire? Flat tire must have been at least 20 years ago. My wife and I arrived in the United States. There were a period of years that I was invited to the annual conference of the Council of Young Israel Rabbis. I was the one who brought the message from Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about the Oslo years, the great struggle, the great battle. And so we arrived at Newark Airport. I had rented a car in advance, and I rented, a medium-sized car, a small car. What can I afford? I can afford a nicer car. Anyway, here it is. I come into the airport and they tell me that the car that I had ordered, they don't have. So they're going to give me something else in its place. And yes, they gave me a Lincoln Continental. In my whole life, I never even sat in a Lincoln Continental. I get behind the wheel of this shtick, gorgeous tank. And I'm used to my little Schmata car in Eretz Yisrael, and I sit back over there, and we get on to the New Jersey Turnpike, and really for that night, it was the day before the conference. That night, I was making my way to Borough Park's, stay at a friend's house. There was also something else I had to do in Borough Park. I'll decide during the story whether to tell you what it was I really wanted to get to, but I will see. We'll see. It depends on how you behave. Anyway, here it is. We're driving, and I turn to my wife. I go, Bill, this car, it's a dream. I just put my foot a little bit on the gas. Fuert, his guide, strength, power, unbelievable, fumbling. I can't stop talking about this great car. It's about 10, 15 miles up the road, remember also, in February, the middle of February, it's about 2 weeks before Purim. You know, when it's not a leap year, February can be 2 weeks before Purim. When it's a leap year, you know, March is 2 weeks before Purim. Anyway, and we're going to be back in there. So, well, that's not important. Anyway, here it is, we're flying across the turnpike, and then all of a sudden, I hear it's a bang, a zets, a knock, and then I get up, something's going wrong with this car, and I pull over to the side of the road, and it's right beside where there's a ramp going off, and I know already what's happening. I walk out, and yes, there's a flat, this big tank of a shtick luxury car. Has a pashut in a flat. My problem is, I never changed the flat tire in my life. I've never changed the flat tire since then. It's bitter cold, and we're sitting there, and there's nothing around. I look up at the exit, there's no gas station, there's nobody around. The only thing is, there's one sort of street light as you go off the turnpike, and we just sat there. It's cold. It's dark. I don't know what to do. Either it was before the day of cell phone, or I didn't have a cell phone. I'm completely cut off from the world. So, of course, about 10 minutes into this, I started feeling sorry for myself, for ourselves. What's going to happen with us? Nobody will ever know. Here we are. 20 minutes into it, I made a decision. I said, Balaam, we're going to change the flat tire. I don't know how. I gave her instructions, get into the glove compartment, get out the instruction booklet. We get out the instruction booklet. I find the page where it says how to change a tire. We're having difficulty reading it in there, so we go out off the street under the street lamp. And Ben is reading to me how to change a flat tire. And it seems that the first thing is you have to get the jack out. There's a jack. In the boot. How do you like that for a novice in America? In the boot, in the trunk. But it's not as simple. They have a diagram on what kind of a wrist action you have to use in order to get the jack out of the car. And we're working on the jack. Finally get the jack out. Go over to the car. It's bitter cold. It's bitter cold. And I start jacking the car. It's a half an hour already that we've been. All of a sudden, a big truck comes screeching to a halt. And out comes the biggest Afro-American I've ever seen in my life. And he comes walking toward me, and I think, Gold, this is it, it's curtains. And what a tired of the shun, he says, man, I see you got a problem. I'm going to help you. Twenty 20 seconds later, a fire engine red sports car comes swerving in. And out of the sports car comes a fellow who is as blonde as the other fellow is not blonde. And he says he's an off-duty policeman. And from the other side of the road, he saw that I'm in trouble. He went to the next exit, came around, and here he is. The Afro and the American go to work to change the tire. My wife, of course, makes the most brilliant statement of all, and she says to me, I know you. You're going to make a drosha out of this. And I said to her, you're wrong. I made it already. Meanwhile, the off-duty policeman's wife is in the car, and she asks Bailey to come into the car and sit with her to keep warm while the two of them go ahead. They change the tire, and I want to pay the Afro-American, and you see, I'm very careful to use the right terminology. He doesn't want to take any money. I put, I think, a $20 bill in his hand or something, and I was so thankful. And about the next, what happens next, of course, is already in the 20 years between me and my wife. I said that I saw the Afro-American get into his big truck, drive off onto the turnpike, and disappear into thin air. She says, no, I think the truck kept going. And I thought it was a Leo and Navi. And she says, no, it was just a plain Afro-American. So we will continue to argue about that at Meyves Mushana. When we finally made it to Borough Park to my friend, the first thing that I did was I went for a Megillas Esther. There was something going through my head. The Megillah has 167 psukim. That means the following. If you divide it, there are 83 psukim on one side, 83 psukim on the other side, and in the middle there's a swing pasuk, pasuk 84. Before you read pasuk 84, I claim that what was happening was the following. As soon as we had that flat tire, the angels in heaven came to the Levishim and said, Levishim, the golds are in a serious problem. It's very cold down there. It's dark. We have to help them out. The Levishim remained silent. Not a word. Angels are fluttering around and saying, Levishim, the golds. He has to get to this convention. He has to speak about Eretz Yisrael. You got to help him out. Poker face. No response from the Levisha. Then all of a sudden, Amalek says, they took the instruction booklet out of the glove compartment. No response. Another Amalek, he got the jack out. No response from that. Then Amalek comes flying up, he says, Levisha, the jack is under the car. And the car is going up. Send the Afro-American. Send the off-duty policeman. The message is simply the following. What the Chabad wants is that we do whatever we can. And from the when we've reached the moment where we've done whatever we can, then comes Siyata Deshmaya. Then the Chabad is going to act. Otherwise, if we do nothing,
nothing will happen there.
In Kabbalah, this is called itaruta dilatata, an awakening and an arousal that comes from below. And what comes from below activates the very heavens above. We're going to see that this is a matter of life and death. It can be very, very serious. So therefore, until I took out the instruction booklet, nothing happened. When I finally got the jack out, nothing is happening in heaven. The moment we're jacking up the car, that's it. So here it is, I arrived in Borough Park. And since you were very nice, I'll tell you exactly why I wanted to get to Borough Park. My wife is never happy when I say this, but it's okay. We disagree about what happened to the Afro-American in his truck. It was the days when if you wanted a good steak, you got it at Kosher Delight, 46th Street and 13th Avenue. By the way, today it's not, you don't have to go to America for a steak anymore. There's not a thing left in America that we need. Not a thing. You want a good steak, you get it here. Whatever you want good, you can have here. This country is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But in those days, 20 years ago, you wanted a good steak and French fries. But French fries with texture, you understand? You understand me. Anyway, I thought that we were never going to make it. It was 10:45 when we arrived at night, when we arrived in Borough Park. I said, I will drive by Kosher Delight. It was open. I went in. Yeah, we'll get you a steak. I get to my friend's house. We're going to get back to page one. Turn over to the other side. The second side. Page one is going to be a little bit painful. That will be the essence issue. We're starting page two, Gilbester. It's on the third day. The Jewish people have been fasting for 3 days. Mordechai has told Esther that there is a decree to destroy all Jews in all 127 states of the realm. Anyway, Esther gets dressed in her raiments of royalty and she arrived into the Beit HaMelech, second line HaPnimit, the inner chamber of the king. Nochach Beit HaMelech, facing the throne room. V'Hamelech Yosheg al Kisei Malchuto, the king is sitting on his throne with Beit HaMalchus in his palace. Nochach Petach HaBayit, he is sitting, if that's the entrance, he's sitting the way I am, facing the entrance. Achashverosh has become a frightened individual. He doesn't turn his back anymore on the door out there. He wants to make sure that he sees everybody who's coming in. And not only that, anybody who comes to the king without having been invited can be cut down instantly to shreds. There are people watching his room. The man has already been saved once from an assassination attempt. He's a frightened individual. Esther is literally taking her life into her hands. Next step she takes, she may be dead. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, Nosochen Priena, she found favor in his eyes. By Yoshua Hamelch Lester Charmatazo, he extended his golden scepter to her that's in his hand. Batikab Esther. Esther drew close. Batikab Benosha Shabbat. She touched the top, the And the king said to her, Malach Esther, Malach, I imagine he's really, he knows what just happened. He knows that Esther just took her life into her hands. He doesn't say to her, good morning, Esther. How are you, Esther? How are you feeling? You're looking lovely today. Malach Esther, what's wrong? Obviously, something is wrong if she has just taken a step where she could have been killed instantly. Malach Esther, what is it? Esther, Malach, queen, Umavach Rashatech, what is it that you see? Al-Khatsi Amalkash Minatela, up until half the kingdom, it's yours. But Tom Esther, Esther said, Ima Amelach Tov, Yavor Amelach Vahaman Ayomal Amishtet, that Haman and the king and Haman come today to the party, I shall see the love that I make for him. Ayomal Amelach, so the king immediately says, he must be very curious. Vusep is, she just risked her life to extend an invitation to him and Haman to come to a party. It doesn't make sense, you know. She could have found other ways. She could have sent him a note. She could have sent a petek. No, see that. So he wants to know something's happening over here. So he says, hurry, bring Haman, Maruat Haman, Lasot Varesta to do that just the once. Fayarwa Melech for Haman. The king and Haman came to the party, Asher Astor said that Esther did. Fayarwa Melech for Esther to Mishtar Yain. At the party, the king says to Esther, Masha Elotepi, not tell her, what is it that you're asking? And it will be given to you. What do you see? Up until half the kingdom, I give it. He is very, very curious. I think curious isn't the right word. He is very anxious. What did she endanger her life for? Just an invitation to a party? We're not going to talk about that today. The next pasuk is pasuk 84 in the Megillah. The center of the Megillah. There are 83 psukim before it. There are going to be 83 psukim after it. This is it. The pivotal, powerful pasuk of the Megillah. Vatan Esther Vatoma. Esther answered and she said, She'elati u'bakashati. There's something I ask and there's something I seek. When she says She'elati u'bakashati, there's a big difference between She'elah and Bakashah. She'elah means something that I'm asking for. Bakasha means something that I'm going to seek out with all my energy and all my effort. It will stop at nothing. Bakesh shalom v'rafehu. You have to seek out peace. Levakesh means to go out after something with a passion. Dalala says, Achas sha'alti me'et Hashem. One thing I best of God, O Ta'avakesh, that I will seek with all my energy and everything that I have in me to sit in the house of God forever. You know what's happening at this point? Esther has just taken the jack out of the back of the car. She's put it under the car and she is beginning to raise the car. At this point, she is taking the fate of the Jewish people into her hand. She's taking action. She's making it clear, there's something that I want, and I'm going to go after it with all of my energy. This is the swing pasuk in the Megillah, because this swing pasuk establishes the extremely important principle. You can't sit back. You have to do. And the Rebbeinu blesses a person according to Masi Yodah, according to that which he does. If you remain passive, it will be passive. If you become active, then you have a libidishon that's going to take care of you. So she says, She'elati u'bakashati. And here, of course, according to the Gemara, we know that Esther doesn't have a fully worked out plan. She's probing, she's searching, she's looking, and she says, if I find favor in Matsati Krim Be'nei HaMelech, Be'im HaMelech Tov, La'tete She'elati u'lasot et bakashati. You see, she's using a lot of very fascinating terminology. If I found favor in the eyes of the king, if it's good to the king to give me that which I ask for and to do bakashati, a bakasha is something you have to do, you have to act. A bakasha calls for asiya, action. Let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the party. And tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what it is that I want. She has now put Ahasuerus into such a state of high tension. He doesn't know what to do with himself. That night he's not going to sleep. Everything is going to begin that night. Not only Haman is not, Ahasuerus is not going to sleep that night. It's a very rough night for a lot of people. Haman doesn't sleep that night either. He's all upset because he's going to walk out now after the party and everybody's bending and bowing down before him. And Mordechai will not bow nor bend, and he gets upset and he's angry. Everybody's bowing down before him and Mordechai doesn't. So they hatched a great plan that he's going to make a gallows 50 cubits high and go to the king and tell him, you want to hang the Mordechai. Everything is happening from this swing pasuk. From this swing pasuk 84 and further, it's downhill. It's downhill for the bad guys. Haman, Ahasuerus, all the rest. Because she took action. She took action. That was going through my mind, freezing on the New Jersey Turnpike on a February night. But I was so lucky that it worked out. The pasuk was there. What's the point of all of this? So first of all, I'm thinking about all of this last Wednesday morning. You know, I think today's shiur is going to go with stories. You won't believe this. And I had to take my wife someplace, Kampin Lashara. We get into the car. I have to get her to an appointment, Kampin Lashara. I get into the car. I live at number 16 Agassi. My car didn't make it further than the next house, 18 Agassi. I had, what did I have? A flat tire. I'm thinking to myself, the plane into Alma Kula. I'm sitting in the house working over the flat tire, and there it is, Wednesday morning. Right after I walk out of the house, I have a flat tire. Oh, this is the commercial. He's telling me something. Anyway, but my wife has to get the company to show. My next door neighbor is just then pulling out in his big super duper Lincoln. They have these, what do they call this? Not this. A van. A shiny van. My little car is argoonish compared to his van. Anyway, he took her to the appointment and I waited. I called my insurance agent's office. That's my son. Anybody needs insurance, you just get in touch with me or give me a call in the commercial. Anyway, they come, they fix my hair. I get to the pancheria. You know what a pancheria is? A place that fixes flat tires. And I meet a fellow rabbi that also with a flat tire. So I tell him, you should know, I'm sitting in the house working on the shear that I call the flat tire shear, and I get a flat tire here again. Anyway, so the owner of the panchal here says, "Vrata me da berau, panche! You're talking about a panche? I'll tell you about flat tires." An hour, he had the two of us there. He was very close to a Jew by the name of Moshe Eliyahu. Now this fellow, Yitzchak Gulyan, who is from Paras, a Persian, it's on Mount Sharon, right opposite Osherah, and he starts telling us that he was always upset with himself for years that his pancheria was open on Chol Hamoed, but it wasn't his. He worked for his father. His father started this business 60 years ago down at the bottom of Rehov Hillel. There's still little signs someplace. And then it moved to Talpiot, and from Talpiot, I think it worked to Memilla. Anyway, he already moved it to Rehov Petatfus. Anyway, the father said, "You have to work a Chalmai." He didn't let him off. He gave him off the afternoon. And anyway, to make a long story short, he hinted to Rav Moshe Eliyahu, you know, to be doiser on him, to decree upon him that he shouldn't work in Chol Hamoed. So he finally asked him, "Tell my father I should work in Chol Hamoed." So he says, "No, you have to work in Chol Hamoed. What's the fact is that people get flat tires on Chol Hamoed. And you know, problem with a tire can be extremely dangerous. You're allowed to work on Chol Hamoed." That day, the Amar Chalil told him this, five big Chabonim in the country had flat tires and needed him. And he listed them to me. One was an Engel, Rav Shlomo Zalman. The other was Rav Zafrani. The other was a Saf. I don't remember all the names. So that's a holy story. And this Jew, you should understand, what this Jew did for me was something even more fascinating. I happened to be learning, I learned the Gemara that morning. A Gemara in the Sefer Brachos, where the Gemara says, on the Pasuk in Kohelet, et hakol oso yofe be'ito. God made everything beautiful in its time. And the Gemara says, what a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Yipo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Umnut Shel Kol Echad V'Echad. God made it in human nature that everybody should love his profession or his trade. Even the leather tanner should love his trade, because if people wouldn't love their trades, we would be missing people who do important things. I couldn't spend a half an hour in that place with all those tires in. But he took such great pride in his tires. I understood the Gemara. Et hakol oso yotha b'ito, God made everything beautiful in his life. He made it part of the nature of human beings that each person should like what he does. I feel bad for people who don't like what they do. All right. We have a shit to say, but it's all related. Now I can take you back to page one. Okay. I don't usually have pictures. Here begins a very, very painful, very painful story. Something that I was not aware of, totally unaware of. The two pictures there are pictures of the opening pages of two svarim. On the left-hand side is a sefer called Tikkun Olam that was published in the city of Munkach in 1936. in the middle it says, do you know what this sefer was about? This sefer, I have it right in the middle there, Neged Shitas HaMishachin. This is against the opinion of the new ones, Shehem Tzionim, Mizruchim, Agudim, Tzionim Zionists, or Mizrachistim, or Agudistim, Yishuvistim, or those who live on Yishuvim, the Chol HaMistayef Mehem, Ba'aretz of the Chutzaretz, and all that comes out from them in here, Hashem Yesof, Nidachenu V'Meheiru Yameh. I'll tell you exactly what the Sefer is about. The Sefer is a compilation of the opinions of 150 Gedolei Yisrael saying, under no circumstances are Jews permitted to go to Eretz Yisrael, because you have to wait until Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to take us there. Don't go. I tell you, this appeared in an article in the Kor Rishon about a month ago. When I read the whole article about this Sefer, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was sitting there. I was so full of pain. 3 years after Hitler had come to power, 3 years before the beginning of the Second World War, a Sefer appears with the contributions of 150 Rebbes, Rosh Yeshivas, etc. Don't go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't even want to begin to think about what kind of devastating fallout from this Sefer. I can only assume the Satan was working overtime, and the great people, I don't even want to say, I can't even say, it was all in the paper. The whole story was there. Giants. No, you can't go. You have to wait for Mashiach to come. Don't dare take the jack out of the car. Do nothing. The redemption of the Jewish people is going to come miraculously. Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to come, and he's going to take us all on the wings of eagles to Eretz Yisrael. It was a shita, an approach strongly held by many. One of the people who had a contribution in this Sefer, this anti-Sefer, was Rabbi Yisrael Shlomo Teichtal. And he also said the same thing. Can't go, stay where you are. Shavu Shalayim, the heart breaks. 4, 5, 6 years later, he is going to compose one of the most awesome works that emerged from the Shoah. The right-hand side of the page. In 6 brief years, he moved from the left-hand side to the right-hand side. He authored the incomparable, awesome Sefer Eim HaBonu Samecha. And in this Sefer he says, at the very beginning he said, like all of the rest, I was opposed to the whole movement to Eretz Yisrael. I was opposed to the Zionists. I was opposed to the Agudistan and the Mizrachistan and all the other Istan. I was opposed to it all. But then I saw that Tzav started falling in Klal Yisrael. And he marshaled an awesome number of sources to establish the idea we made a terrible mistake. We should have participated together with the early Zionists from day one. We should have been there, we should have gone, we should have built, we should have moved, we should have been active. The Sefer on the left-hand side of this page was one that called for no action. Shed for our pastor, said, do not. God is sending Mashiach. And on the right hand side, no. Depends on us. We've got to do. And if we do, there will be some of the Shemayah. If we can take the jack out of the trunk and put it under the car and start jacking up the car, the convention is going to help. Jews are going to start coming to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is going to begin to develop into what has it become today, something unparalleled in all history. What a machlekes this was. What a machlekes this was. If you think that the left-hand side of the page has disappeared, hasn't disappeared at all. My doctor is sitting in the back, he's retired now. He left me in other people's hands. He once brought me, Dr. Reuven Bendov, he brought to my attention a book called The Medrash Says. The Medrash Says. There are footnotes in The Medrash Says that make me sick. Now, my doctor's supposed to make me well, not make me sick. But a footnote, for example, from here we see that the Torah view is diametrically opposed to the Zionist view of Aliyah for everybody. What are you talking about? The Torah view is opposed to Aliyah. Heavens, how many people died because of the Sefer on the left-hand side? I'm afraid to calculate it. They still exist. Many years ago, my wife and I, we were in Borough Park, you know. Maybe it was the same time after the, maybe another time. We used to, in the old days, used to travel. If we make it to Tanzania, we're okay today, all right. Anyway, so we're listening to, we picked up a new cassette. There were no discs in those days. We picked up a new cassette. And one of the songs, I think it was Mordechai ben David's son, Yehuda, I want to go home to the city of gold. Yerushalayim of old, oh, I want to go home. Oh, yeah, I want to go home. So Rabbi says to me in the car, who's stopping you? Go home! He didn't hear it. But then we get to the end of the song that says, when Moshiach comes, I'm going to go home. Still alive and well. The Shita is still alive and well. Yeah, when Moshiach comes, we're going to go. Till Moshiach comes, you're not allowed to. These two, the left-hand side and the right-hand side, all are rooted in two Gemaras. There's more on the first page. We'll get back to that. The two Gemaras that are at the very heart of it all. I'm moving you around over here. Go to the next page, the second page. Not the second side, the second page. Second page. On the right-hand side is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara records further signs indicating the Messiah's arrival. Omer Abba. Rav Abba said, this is a famous Gemara. We have learned it on a number of occasions. This Gemara is a Gemara that has... that inspired me to the one and only memorable sentence I ever said. Amar Abba, Rav Abba said, Ein l'cha keitz v'gulam, he said, there is no greater revealed time than this. There is no clearer indication of the end, the keitz. Geula is on the way than this. Shedema, what is this great sign? I, the apostle that I always say, you should be able to say it in your sleep. Somebody wakes up and says, say the apostle in your Haskell chapter 36, apostle 8. Okay. Ma'atam hore Yisrael, amtechem titenu, ferichem tisu, la'ami Yisrael. They don't bring the rest of the apostle. Ki kervu lavol. The Navi says in the name of God that there will come a moment in history when God will say to the mountains of Israel, give out your branches, carry your fruit for my people Israel, because the time of their return is coming close. It's coming close. And that's exactly what happened in our days. 100 years ago, Eretz Yisrael began to give out its fruit, something it had not done for 1900 years, because the land itself knew that Klal Yisrael is on the way back home. The entire foundation of the Hashkafa of the Vilna Gaon, that later became the Hashkafa of Rav Kook, is all based on what's called the Kates HaMegula, the revealed end of days. An Eretz Yisrael that gives out its fruit and its produce, which it didn't do for 1900 years, because the land was not going to give out its fruit when its people are not there. Nobody made it here. Nobody was ever able to establish a state here. They lasted for a while and disappeared. The land was unfriendly, inhospitable. It was hostile to the Saracens, the Tatars, the Crusaders, and all the hilarious that came throughout all of history. The land simply was inhospitable, mamish hostile. Nobody could do it. The Jews started coming back to Eretz Yisrael. The turn of the 19th century into the beginning of the 20th century, all of a sudden. I don't know if I told you this. I got so much to say. It's unbelievable. On the basis of this Gemara, I had said, my one famous statement. If you want to speak to God, go to the Kotel. If you want to see Him, go to Shuk Machmir Yehuda. Somebody quoted this incorrectly but nicely in Torah Tidbits about 2 months ago. As Rabbi Shlomo Gold famously said, if you want to talk to God, go to the Kotel. If you want God to talk to you, go to Shuk Machmir Yehuda. Also, not there, not there. All right? The Vilna Gaon said, and the Vilna Gaon's whole sheet was, why did he send his students here? Around 1776, you know, while the Redcoats were coming and America declared independence, Yom HaTzmaut, July 4th, 1776, the students of the Vilna Gaon were already in Eretz Yisrael, because he told them that it all will happen if Jews go back. They take the jack out. They act. That's how it's going to happen. The sheet of Rav Kook was the same. Everything based on the idea of Kate Chamagula. You see that, then you know God wants us here. And He's providing for us here. One of the great tragedies, of course, is people can't even listen to you. If you tell them that the two Jews who had the clearest vision in the 20th century were Herzl and Rav Kook, they'll tell you you're crazy. They'll say all sorts of dirty words about Herzl, and maybe worse about Rav Kook, but the fact, there's no question about it. Rav Kook in 1904 wrote an absolutely awesome letter in which he, to the Jews of Europe describing what's going to happen. This was after the Kishinev pogroms, and he described what's going to happen to Jews, and he tells them, Achim Yekorim, Rabotai L'Eretz Yisrael, off, leave, go, forget about plans, don't worry about packing up your things, go, he said. And everybody made fun of him. Herzl was the greatest visionary of the 20th century. It's unbelievable. Greatest visionary. There was one other person. And that was Zev Jabotinsky. There's a famous speech that Zev Jabotinsky gave in Warsaw in 1938. He already had the ability to see what was happening. And he told Jews, I'm close now. But remember, there's a background. It was not only the Vilna Gaon of 200 years ago, it was the Baal Shem Tov even before he sent his students here. Baal Shem Tov sent his students. And then there were the great thinkers of the 19th century, of Alkali, see, Kalisher, these are people that they were scorned, but they had a greatness. So the one sheet is the sheet of Kates Hanagula. Kates Hanagula means we have a sign, something is happening, and that's a signal to us, go to Eretz Yisrael. But there was the other hand, and unfortunately you hear that, Hayom Hazeh. No, don't confuse me with 150 years of facts. The other side is, now I'll tell you, I really didn't plan it this way, but I have the good guys on the right-hand side of the page, and the not understood ones on the left-hand side of the page. The left-hand side of the page. It's very clear, this shiur will not finish today, that's okay. Yes, Hashem, because tonight there's more, because a lot of it is related to Purim, so let's go. The left-hand side of the page is one that is, the amount of literature that has been written about it is awesome. This is a Gemara at the end of the Sefer Ksuvos. You have Zeta on the left-hand side of the page. You have Zeta of the Kamishtamit Minei Derev Yehuda, the boy in Mesik Laritz is called Reb Zera, whose Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Zera and Rabbi Yehuda lived in Bavel. And Reb Zera stayed out of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda's way, because Reb Zera wanted to go on Aliyah. Remember this is very important. Reb Zera, my mother-in-law, Aleha Shalom, always wanted to know from me what I know about Reb Zera, because she felt I told her about Reb Zera, and she wondered, was he successful when he came on Aliyah? What happened to Reb Zera? Oh, watch. Reb Zera stayed out of his Rebbe Yehuda's way. Why? Because he wanted to go on Aliyah. And Reb Yehuda said, Kol ha'olam yibavel eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Reb Yehuda said, whoever goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael transgresses a positive commandment. Shenema, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu says, Bavel o yuvo, Yirmiyahu, before the destruction of the first temple, tells the Jewish people, come to Bavel, v'shomo yiyu, and there they shall be, ad yom pogdiotam, until the day comes that I will remember them, Noam Hashem, says God. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you're in Babel, you're not allowed to go on Aliyah. Very, very strange opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Zera, in fact, responds immediately to it. The pasuk over there is talking about the vessels of the Bet HaMikdash that were taken to Babel by the Babylonians. And Rabbi Zeta says, that verse was written with regard to the sacred utensils that were taken. That's the fact. And in general, this Gemara has been so misunderstood by so many people. Like, you get the feeling that Rabbi Yehuda, this Rabbi Yehuda, he's an anti-Zionist. So you have to understand, there's another Gemara, and I learned that also just about a week ago. The Gemara is Masechta Brachos in the sixth parak. So on certain things, Rabbi Yehuda says that the bracha that you're supposed to make is not stam bori pri ha'etzar fruit. If it's a fruit that hurts the soil, you're supposed to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam bori pri arzenu. Rabbi Yehuda, blessed is the fruit of our land. So the Gemara says, don't pay attention to Rabbi Yehuda. Because he loves Eretz Yisrael. How does that jive with what we're learning over here, where he says you're not allowed to go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? So there's a lot to say about it, but I want to say, throw out one thought at this point. And that is, I think it's Rav Kook who says it, that Rabbi Yehuda was challenging God. I don't want anybody to go back unless you take us all back. I'm going to tell everybody sit, put, and bubble, we're not going. You know what I want you to do? Send out Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. Take us all to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he wanted. Anyway, let's go one step further. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ksiv kra achrina. Rabbi Yehuda says, there's another pasuk that says, and here is where all the problems begin. A pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The fact is that the pasuk appears in Shir HaShirim not once, but four times. Hishbati etchem b'nod Yerushalayim, I have made you swear, daughters of Jerusalem, b'tzvaot o'ba'elot ha'sadeh, by the gazelles or the hinds of the field, what was the oath? The Gemara doesn't bring the rest of the pasuk. Into inu v'into odinu et ha'ahavach etechfatz, that you shall not arouse and awaken the love until the time comes. Arousing and awakening the love, the Gemara's learning is, don't go towards the soil until God wants. And watch, the Gemara goes on to say, the last paragraph on the left-hand side, for Rav Zeda. Rav Zeda says, "Ha'hu mi boy le'elik in the Rav Yosi b'Rachmiya." Rav Zeda says, "We need that pasuk to tell us that which was said by Rav Yosi b'Rachmiya." The Amar Shalosh Yuros Halalu Lama. These three psukim that describe three oaths. Why are there three identical psukim in Shir HaShir? There's a fourth, we'll deal with that separately. Why? All the trouble or all the misunderstanding begins right here. Because the Amar, because he says Shalosh Shus Halololol, what the meaning of these three oaths? Achas Shalol Yalu Yisrael Tachoma. That sentence, that Jews are not allowed to go up like a wall. In other words, en masse, you're not allowed to go to Israel. The whole Shita of Satna, the whole Shita of that Sefer Tikkun Olam that appeared in 36, all based on these four words, Shalom Yalu Yisrael Kachoma, they shall not go up en masse. This is the big Aveda, you're not allowed to do it, the Zionists did it, and that's the all tragedy comes by virtue of that. So you shall not go up unless. Then there's a second a second Achas says, be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another oath is that God made the Jewish people swear that they will not rebel against the nations of the world. As long as we're in Golos, we're good citizens. We're good citizens. The third oath is that the nations of the world should not treat us very badly. They have to maintain their dignity. These are called the three oaths. Sattler and, let's say, the others, all who were opposed, everything was based on Shalom Yalu B'choma, Jews shall not go up on us. There's 200 years, or even more than 200 years of literature. And I'll just touch upon some of it now, and the rest we will continue second half. According to many, in fact, go back to page one where I have the pictures. Number two, on the left-hand side, it says, Rav Shlomo Aviner. There's a list of 13 explanations of why Shalom Yalu B'choma, they shall not go up on Mass, does not apply today. 13 answers. And these 13 answers were given by a wide variety of Gedolei Yisrael over a period of 200 years. I remember speaking in a day school someplace. I won't tell you where, to figure it out. And I gave one of my rousing, rah-rah-rah Eretz Yisrael speeches. I think it was the Chvod Yom Yerushalayim at the time. And after it was all over, the principal and one of the rabbeim brought a 12 or 13 year old little boy to me. He has a question to ask you. And the little boy says to me, but wait a minute, the Gemara in Ksuba says, Shalom Yalu B'choma, Jews are not allowed to go off on us. I lost it. I have to tell you, I lost it. That this is all that a 12 or 13 year old is taught. After 200 years of literature and 100 years of Jewish history, I looked at the principal and the teacher and I just lost it. I wasn't the calm, nice fellow. Oh, you know there are 13 explanations. I said, whoever taught you this is a Sonei Eretz Yisrael. I was talking to the principal and to the this little kid didn't know it hit him. The other two didn't know it hit them. And I just stopped out of it. These are serious issues. Incidentally, why am I in the middle of putting all of this together? I mean, admit it now. Do you ever read Torah Tidbits? I don't know how I don't always have the time, but here there is an article, this week's Parashat Vayakel, page 39, the Mitzvah settling in the land of Israel, part 5, the three oaths. If you want to get more background information, you have it here. And I'm going to continue with the real exciting stuff, Mirzashim, next week. But this machlekes and the misunderstandings exist until today. But more than that, the Megillah is going to be a means of opening up what the real hashkafa of our time is supposed to be. That's it. That's enough for today.